Like, that was a feature that they actually were looking for, but our house was very busy and I loved it. You never knew who was going to be waiting out front or who would be a guest. So that's the kind of house that I grew up in. I didn't really find out that it was super unusual until I was in grad school. People were talking about some of the work that they did with like the homeless community and stuff. And I was like, oh, you guys just didn't have homeless people at your house like all the time. And they were like, what are you talking about? Like what? And I was like, we had the Franklin Avenue annex post office at our house. You know, like people didn't have an address. Family went to check in on them. That's a little bit about me and my background. I now live in St. Paul on the other side of the river.
Talk a little bit about the show, Big Auntie Energy.
They're going to see Deanna and myself. We use humor all the time. I think most Indigenous Native people know that is our best skill. I'm not talking about me personally, but like overall, nobody does it better than we do. And we've got some long-term goals. There's many, many wonderfully gifted women storytellers and funny women. They manage the men, they manage their kids, the grandkids, the house, they do all this stuff. And they, even on our worst day, we will find something to crack up about, right? But there's not enough doing it at a level where they can fill clubs and theaters. And we've been really gaining some traction with that, which is really cool. But I personally would like to see that around the country. We want to encourage more storytellers and comedians. And hopefully by seeing us, they will be encouraged to know that they can do the same thing.
Any formal training or anything?
I've always loved comedy. I've loved stand-up. My brother had the Steve Martin album. And when he was gone playing with his friends, I would like listen to that. I've always loved it. I've always was impressed by that. I mean, we're in such a cool time right now where there's so much exposure to Native artists at a really high level. Musicians, comedians, actors, actresses. I mean, we were at the Oscars. That's pretty huge. So I've been doing open mics and showcases in my own shows for, I think this is going into the 11th or 12th year. It's just in the last 3 years, you know, that it's really starting to get noticed. And what I would like to do is secure some funding, go to 7 urban areas where our Indigenous people are because of relocation, right? 7 hubs. But in the meantime, what I would love to do is have some time. I really want to focus on women. I really want to focus on us for a while. Do some workshopping, like some storytelling, comedic workshopping. I can share what I know about, like if anybody's interested in stand-up, take some time and do that. And then I would love to do a podcast to record stories and share stories and have our community members hear themselves and know that other people want to hear these stories.
Well, thanks a lot, Trish. Appreciate you taking your time.
Thank you. And it's always good to see you and talk to you.
That's all for this week's episode. Join us next time for more voices and stories that inform, uplift, and shape our communities right here on Minnesota Native News. Minnesota Native News is produced by Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, made possible by funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
We're one of the only organizations to highlight women's wrestling. It's been my goal to at least have 2 or 3 women's matches on every show because my daughter is a huge wrestling fan. And one day she said, how come there are no girl wrestlers? And it made me think, why is there no girl wrestlers? And we started a women's division up here. But I tell you, the fans up here, they go crazy for wrestling.
Buju, hello. Welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem. Miigwech for joining me. Native Lights is more than a podcast and radio show. At its core, it's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have great conversations with wonderful guests from a bunch of different backgrounds. Musicians, artists, doctors, educators, athletes, you name it. We have a wonderful mix of passions that join us, and we talk to our guests about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it all centers around the big point of purpose in our lives. And it is another day, another chance to amplify Native voices. Today, I'm really stoked for my upcoming conversation with David Amatrano. Now, I don't know much about wrestling or the wrestling world, but David does, and he is a member of the Boys Fort Band, and he's a co-owner of Midwest All-Star Wrestling, and he's a pro wrestling promoter. So super excited to chat with him, and here he is. Bonjour, David.
Hello, bonjour. How are you?
Anine, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
Perfect. Well, I will kick us off then. Anine, David, can you introduce yourself and tell us where you're joining us from?
Yeah, my name is David Amatrano. I'm the owner of Midwest All-Star Wrestling. It's a Minnesota-based independent wrestling organization that is native-owned. And I'm based out of Woodbury, Minnesota. I'm originally from Ely, Minnesota. And I'm from the Boys Fort Tribe, which is in Net Lake, Minnesota.
Great. Thank you so much. And can you tell me, how is your family doing? How are you doing? How's your family?
Great. I have four wonderful kids at home. I have an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And so it's been crazy. But my wife, Brittany, has been super awesome, being supportive with my daytime job and her daytime job, and then doing the wrestling on the side. So it's been working out.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Well, is there anything that you are kicking around, thinking about at this point in time?
As far as wrestling related, I'm working on bringing in some more guests for our biggest show of the year called the Grand Slam. And that's how I got into wrestling, because I'm the CFO for the Native American organization, Women and Nations. It's a women and children's domestic violence and sexual assault shelter. And I've been there for 13 years next month. And that's kind of how wrestling fell in my lap. And it is our biggest fundraiser in the 43 years that the shelter has been open.
Wow. Wait, can you tell me a bit more about the shelter, Women of Nations?
Yeah, so I'm currently the CFO. I'm going to be there for, like I said, 13 years. It's a 44-bed domestic violence shelter for Native women and children. It was founded in 1982, and we are in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're one of the largest Native shelters that are off reservation land.
Mm-hmm.
We are pet friendly, we're transgender friendly, and we accept women of all nations. You don't have to be Native American to be in our shelter. That's just the basis of our funding.
Wow, that's so interesting. And I'm really curious how you got from Women of Nations into wrestling promotion.
So 2017, I was at work and I got a call from Jesse Ventura. He had seen a video that Care 11 did about missing murdered Indigenous women, and they highlighted our shelter, and Jesse called me up and said that he wanted to do a fundraiser for victims of domestic violence and put me in contact with one of the owners of Midwest All-Star Wrestling at that time. I didn't know anything about pro wrestling back then, but we held our first event at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, and it generated $10,000 for funds for the shelter. So it was amazing. And ever since then, we've done it every year. And last year's event raised over $113,000. It's grown from 300 people when we started to over 3,000 last year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Wow, that's incredible. So how about you tell me more about Midwest All-Star Wrestling then?
I came onto the company in May of 2017 with my business partner, Eli. He approached me after the success of the fundraiser and asked me if I would be interested in purchasing the company. And I told him I don't know anything about pro wrestling. But prior to working at the shelter, I was a regional sales director for GNC, the nutrition company. So I had that sales background. And then I was able to sell the product to different venues. And I didn't realize how crazy wrestling was in Minnesota. And then it just kind of took off from there. Work with a lot of different reservations and tribes to put on family-friendly entertainment for people. And last week, I was up on the Red Lake Reservation doing a show for Charlie Norris, who had passed away about 2 years ago. He was a Native American wrestler, and we did a show in his honor. And it was a huge turnout, and I was really honored to be able to do that for him.
Wow. Okay, so I only remember wrestling from being a kid and watching wrestling come on after cartoons on Saturday mornings. Why don't you tell me more about what's wrestling in Minnesota like? Who's who? Who are the movers and shakers? Like, what are the storylines?
Well, right now in our organization, we're one of the only organizations to highlight women's wrestling.
It's been my goal to at least have two or three women's matches on every show, because my daughter is a huge wrestling fan. And one day she said, how come there are no girl wrestlers? And it made me think, why is there no girl wrestlers? So I got in contact with Ken Anderson, who owns the Academy of Professional Wrestling in St. Paul, where everyone goes to train to be a professional wrestler. He put me in contact with some other females from the Chicago area, Florida area. And we started a women's division up here. But I tell you, the fans up here, they go crazy for wrestling. Two of our biggest names right now are Paul Burke. He's currently our champion. And Maggie Lee is our female champion. And she's currently signed to an organization called Total Nonstop Action, TNA Wrestling. And you can see that weekdays on TV. I believe it's on Access TV, but it's TNA Wrestling. Fans are crazy. Like I said, the summertime, I do town festivals, fairs, celebrations, you name it. I'm up in Duluth for the fourth year at the head of the Lakes Fair. Then the following week, I'm down in Lonsdale and Mankato. It's every weekend we're somewhere.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're speaking with David Amatrano from the Boys Fort Band. He's a Minnesota pro wrestling promoter, and he's a co-owner of Midwest All-Star Wrestling. I see that you have a lot of shows. So, like, how do people keep in contact with, like, what you're doing? Is there a newsletter or website?
Yeah, so we're big on Facebook and Twitter. It's Midwest All-Star Wrestling on Facebook. You can follow along on Facebook to see all of our events. About 2 years ago, we had a TV show on the CW called MAW Warriors, and that's currently switched off of the CW onto YouTube now, MAW Warriors or MAW Live on YouTube, and you can follow along and watch the storylines and see some great matches, and yeah.
So would David, in his youth, imagine him doing this right now?
About 12 years ago, I used to fight professionally for mixed martial arts. 2012 was the last fight I did, and then went into the corporate world and kind of did that. But I also co-own a Native American mixed martial arts company called Throne MMA with the late Stefan Bonner from the UFC and my business partner Dean Lamb, who's from White Earth. We do MMA shows up in Northern Lights, on the Dakotas, and we're all over. So if you asked me about 20 years ago, yes, I would have loved to have been a professional wrestler. Yes.
That's so cool. Okay, so tell me about the first wrestling match you ever saw.
First wrestling match I saw, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I actually found the program to the very first show I ever went to, and it was December 23rd, 1988. I was 6 years old. It was at the Duluth Deck Arena, and I just recently had Jake the Snake Roberts up at the Charlie Norris Show, and I gave it to Jake last week to sign for me. So that was the very first show I ever saw. He wrestled Andre the Giant of the Duluth Deck, and I was hooked.
Whoa. How did you feel? 6 years old? We must be the same age, by the way, just yeah. So you know. That's so rad.
It was crazy. I mean, to be that small and look up and see Andre the Giant walking down the aisle. We were ringside. It was crazy. Yeah, and then as I got older, you know, kind of drifted away from the wrestling. And when I married my wife, Brittany, and moved from northern Minnesota down here, I was living in Cottage Grove for a while, and then we moved to Woodbury, and I lived next to Baron Von Raschke, who was a huge wrestler back in the 70s and 80s. Oh. I didn't even know it until, you know, I got into MAW, so it's been a fun and wild ride, and a lot of our shows, we bring in legends from the past, from WWE, so to be able to work with them, like Jake the Snake Roberts, and, you know, Bret Hart, and Jimmy Hart, and just everybody that you could think of has just been a dream come true, and they're awesome. So to be able to work with those legends is just kind of like a dream come true. It's nostalgia for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, how'd you get into MMA then?
I got a call from Dean at the shelter. He was looking for another Native American to help work the reservations. We work with the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, the athletic commission, and he introduced me to Stefan Bonner from the UFC, and at that time, Stefan was living in Las Vegas, and Dean was up in Alexandria, and they needed someone's help in the metro, and he just contacted me, and with my MMA background, it kind of fit together.
Very cool. And so you yourself know how to fight, too. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, so I graduated college in 2006 from Bemidji State University. I got a master's degree in kinesiology, and I went there to play football, and I got extremely heavy. And then afterwards, when I was done playing football, it was like, I need to get this weight off. Started training up at a gym in northern Minnesota. I was running a GNC in Virginia at the Thunderbird Mall, and there was a gym down the street called the Supreme Court. Met a couple of guys, Mike Jew and Darby Smart, who ran a MMA company called the Iron Range Wolfpack. Started training there for about 2 years and just got into my first fight and kind of got hooked.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about how it feels? So as a little background, I do not consider myself any knowledgeable expert on this, but I did train in Krav Maga for like 2 years or so.
Yep.
And I loved it. And, you know, just to like feel a little bit more capable and like stand up a little straighter and like a little less nervous and stuff. But I noticed like mentally how much it affected me just to be able to like think on my feet and be more aware and stuff like that. Can you tell me a bit about how fighting and that sort of practice affected you mentally?
It heightens your sensitivity around you, and you don't know that you're capable of doing these things until you at least try. And everyone says, well, didn't it hurt, you know, getting punched in the face and all the... No, it didn't. I mean, yes, don't get me wrong. Yes, it does hurt. But when you first get in there, your anxiety is through the roof. You're on a high. You can't really feel anything until the day after. But just mentally, just knowing that, you know, I was losing the weight, I was becoming more confident, I was getting better in my skills. Mm-hmm. It just made me feel better all around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember your first fight?
My first fight was August 17th, 2008. It was in Virginia, Minnesota. It was at a bowling alley. Mm-hmm. It was called Battle on the Iron Range. I fought a gentleman by the name of Adrian the Animal Flores. He was from Dickinson, North Dakota.
Ooh.
We went 3 rounds and I won by judge's decision. And it was the craziest fight I've ever been in my life. Because I'm not really a confrontational person. I'd rather talk it out or whatever. So it was really weird to actually have my first fight, rather than just training and goofing around with guys, but actually getting in there, it was It was incredible. My last fight was June of 2011. It was at the Myth nightclub in Maplewood, Minnesota. And I lost to a guy named Shelby Swanson, I think his last name was. But I got caught in a rear naked choke in the second round and I was done.
I don't know what that is, but that sounds tough. Did you have a name? Did you have like a, I don't know, like a David the something?
No, I couldn't. I could never figure out a name. No, that's one thing I never had. Could never figure out a nickname.
Tell me, what keeps you motivated then to keep going with this sort of work? It must be pretty interesting, pretty fun, but is there something that gives you like greater meaning?
Well, working at the shelter, working with Native women that are subjected to domestic violence, it's always the stories when they leave the shelter and they come back and they're in a better place that keep me going. Because there's been a lot of times coming from the corporate world to nonprofit where I wanted to leave. It was really tough, you know, especially when you'd see the trauma that affected children and being a father of 3 daughters and 3 sons, you know, it was really hard. But that keeps me going, just knowing that I'm making a change. With wrestling, I like the excitement on the kids' face, especially with my kids. I like that, you know, they get caught up in the storylines and they really think that the women are, you know, I mean, not that they're not good people, but, you know, there's bad guys and good guys and they can't tell who's who. And that's what I like. Plus, it's cheap entertainment for families to do on the weekends. That's not going to break the bank. And it's just, you know, it's exciting. Like I said, meeting the wrestling legends from when I was a child, seeing people get their figures and posters and pictures signed, that's pretty cool as well.
Mm-hmm. Say, are there notable names, notable like Native wrestlers?
Charlie Norris, who had recently passed away, he was from Red Lake.
Mm-hmm.
He was in WCW, is really well known in Minnesota. Ken Anderson, Mr. Anderson from WWE, is currently here. He runs the Academy of Professional Wrestling School. So if you want to be a professional wrestler, you go to his school. And then once he gives you the blessing to take matches, we'll book you here. We worked with Joe Henning. His father was Mr. Perfect, Kurt Henning. So we worked with him.
Eddie Sharkey, the guy who trained everyone from Rick Rude, the Road Warriors. We worked a lot with the Road Warriors before they passed away. I had Jake the Snake Roberts. We have from Tokyo, Japan, WWE Hall of Famer, the Great Muda, one of the world-renowned Japanese wrestlers.
Cool. Are there any Native women wrestlers?
There is one currently in Las Vegas. Her name is Desi Dorada, and she was the very first Women in Nations Grand Slam Cup winner back in 2019.
So you're saying there's an opening?
Yes, yes. Yes. She hasn't wrestled since then, but she did transition to mixed martial arts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating. Great. Yep. Well, what are some aspects of wrestling that you want people to know? Are there misconceptions maybe that you'd want to clear up, or any secrets?
Yeah, one misconception is people, when they say that wrestling is fake, being there firsthand, the punches, the slams, the getting hit with objects, it's not fake. All the workers are putting their health on the line to entertain us, and we should be respectful for that. And there's no stigma as far as like women wrestlers can beat men wrestlers, and all around fun entertainment. That's the best thing I can say, is it's entertainment. It might not be your thing, but it's a lot of people's thing in Minnesota, especially. It's not something that you're going to get rich on by any means, but we are really blessed to have a lot of businesses that sponsor us. Our businesses will sponsor legends to come in for autograph signings, or they'll sponsor matches. When we first started out, like I said, we were maybe 10 or 12 people in the crowd. Now we're into the hundreds to thousands of people in the crowd, and maybe one show a month. And now, like I said, it's every weekend we're somewhere. So without the fans and the sponsors, and especially the workers, the people that wrestle for us, this wouldn't be as successful as it is.
Gotcha. And so what's next for your company? Is there any like expansion or like other plans or location expansions or anything like that that you're looking at?
One thing that I've been kicking around for the last 6 months is opening up a MAW bar and grill. I want to open a restaurant based around wrestling with different, you know, like dropkick chicken wings and headlocks and hamburgers and things like that. I want to open up a space where you can bring the family out, have a burger, and watch some live wrestling. So that's something I've been working on to hopefully, you know, get that going in the next year or so.
Great. I want to bring back the conversation to your family a little bit. You mentioned your kids, like their faces light up and you see this. How about your wife and your kids? How involved are they with the wrestling?
My wife, she'll come to shows every once in a while. She definitely comes to the Grand Slam for the cause, but she's without her, I wouldn't be able to be gone every weekend putting these shows on. She's the rock at home, keeping the kids in line while I'm gone. So without her, it wouldn't be possible. And she has her own, you know, she has her own things going on. She's the Native American liaison for South Washington County School District. She owns a Native American beauty company. So she has her hands in a lot of different places as well.
Well, where is she from?
She's originally from the Lower Brule Sioux Reservation.
Okay.
Yeah, she's from South Dakota, from Lower Brule. Her mom is from Three Affiliated in Mandan. And her grandmother is from Fort Thompson.
Okay.
So, and we've been married for 13 years and wouldn't be able to do this without her.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're speaking with David Amatrano from the Boys Fort Band. He's a Minnesota pro wrestling promoter, and he's a co-owner of Midwest All-Star Wrestling. How did you begin your work with Women of Nations?
So back in 2012, I had just left GNC and I was looking for something different. And I had met my wife, Brittany, who had started there prior to me. And she said they were looking for a Native American for human resources and finance. And I kind of just took a gamble with it and went for the interview and went for the second interview. And then they gave me the position. And it was something that I didn't see myself doing, but I'm glad I did. I knew I wanted to get out of retail I oversaw 20 different stores with GNC before I left, and I was in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin, and she had just become pregnant with our first son, and she didn't want me traveling every weekend to different stores, and that just kind of popped up, and yeah, I've been there ever since. It's been a wild and crazy ride, I can tell you that. Coming from a small town like Ely to seeing big things that people don't talk about and you don't see, it's been very eye-opening to see other trials and tribulations that people have to go through.
Mm-hmm. So just so I'm clear, David, how many jobs do you have right now?
Well, I oversee the shelter. I'm CFO. I own Midwest All-Star Wrestling. I co-own Throne MMA. Mm-hmm. I own a tattoo convention company called Ink Fusion. And then I help my wife with her company called Icupa Beauty. I don't do too much with the beauty products except for getting the inventory off the pallet and putting it in my garage. Yeah.
So five jobs.
Yeah.
All right.
Being a father and a husband.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Six and seven for sure.
I have Tyron, Sierra, Titan, and Siren.
That's so rad.
Yep.
My kid's name is Marvin. That's a family name. Oh, I saw also that you incorporate cultural aspects into your work with the wrestling promotion. Can you tell me more about that? Like native dancers and stuff like that?
Yeah. So at Grand Slam every year, we have my cousin, Terry Goodsky. He opens up the show every year with a drum and a prayer and smudging. We also do that on our reservation shows. And then we highlight dancers to open up for the shelter as well as a way to give thanks and bless the ring before the wrestlers go in.
Very nice. Okay, that's great. Okay, so you mentioned you also work with a tattoo company. Sorry, you own it?
So I own Ink Fusion Expos. What we do is we put on tattoo conventions at local reservations, casinos, or event centers.
Okay.
We get contracted out to put on tattoo conventions for different people. We're looking at Minneapolis right now, but the last three, we've been at the St. Croix Casino in Danbury, Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Tattoos. Are you a tattoo artist yourself or simply in the business side?
No, it was so it was the same thing as wrestling. I was doing the wrestling for the St. Croix Casino. I do two shows a year for them. And 2 years ago, they came to me after wrestling and they said, hey, we want to do a tattoo convention out here and we want you to put it on. And I said, I only get tattoos. I don't know how to tattoo. I don't know anything about that. And it was basically, well, this is the date. We have faith in you. This is what we want to do. Let's get it done. So I created an LLC and started contacting tattoo artists and put on a tattoo convention.
So it sounds like you are a business owner, project manager, like you can kind of do whatever.
I do everything.
Like give you a topic, you'll handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I'll figure it out. I've always been like that. Growing up in Ely and my parents owned a grocery store up there and working there and portaging people. I always had to think on my feet, especially when we go up to the Boundary Waters and I'd have to bring a family up there at 16 and, you know, get the moms that don't want to carry the backpacks or the canoes. And it's like, you got to think on your feet. And I've always been like that. I've been working since I was 13 years old and it's fun. I always like to do different things.
I mean, it just sounds like you're just following kind of I'm just going to have my adventure and see what happens.
Yeah. I'm very blessed and honored to have people give me the ability to do things knowing that I don't have a background in that. I went to school, got a degree in kinesiology. I was down in Florida for about a year. Then I moved up to New York. I worked at Cornell University and then came back to Minnesota and just started working at GNC as a part-time sales associate and then worked myself up to a regional sales director. And then the shelter fell in my lap. And everything I've done, I've always been self-taught. So went and got a degree in human resources and finance to be more profound at the shelter. And yeah, it's been exciting.
Well, let's talk about some of that self-teaching then. That's what it sounds like you're really good at.
Yeah.
What is that motivates you to just be a voracious learner.
You know, when I came back to Minnesota, I got the job with GNC, and they wanted me to be the store manager. And I had never been a manager before. And they